Okay, so continuing in davening. So we're going to focus a little on Don Olam and the beginning of a bracha. So Shimon Schwab asks, he says, why was Don Olam chosen to begin our daily tefillah in the morning and to end our day with Kriya Shema Shalmita at night? And the Gemara in Brachas tells us that the first person to ever use the Shem Adnos was Avram Avinu. The world had to wait till Avram discovered that Hashem should be addressed with the Shem Adnos of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and until then he never had that name. So what did he discover that no one before him, there were tzaddikim before, what did he discover that no one before knew? So to understand this, we have to analyze what's the true meaning of an Adon, of a master. A master, we know, has a personal relationship with his Eved. Whenever the servant performs his duties, he's directly serving his master. By way of contrast, the Melech only has a general relationship with his subjects because he has an entire nation that he's governing. And very few people have that ability to serve him personally. So we know in our brachos we refer to Hashem as Melech Olam. Yet, before we get to Melech Olam, we preface that and say, Baruch Atah Hashem, meaning we recognize that Hashem is our master before we refer to him as King of the Universe. So, in addressing Hashem, we're saying, Hashem, who's my personal master, who I have this personal relationship with, that he knows me. Then we acknowledge that my master is also the King of the Universe. So it was Avraham who first recognized this extra element that not only is Hashem the King of the Universe, but there's also this personal relationship that he's my personal master. And therefore, whenever we say the Shem Adnos, no matter how small we might feel or think that we are, we have to realize we're in that direct contact with Hashem. And with this, we can understand why our days start and end with Adon Olam. Because no matter how insignificant we may be, no matter how full of shortcomings we may have, we still have the right to approach Hashem directly. Because the Adon of the world is Keli, he's my personal Hashem. And we go to sleep then saying, B'yado afkid ruchi, beis ishan va'ira, I entrust my neshama into his hands when I go to sleep and when I awake. And as the commercial says, you're in good hands with Allstate. We know that we're in good hands when we entrust ourselves to Hashem. And when we close our eyes, we could then end and say, Hashem li v'lo ira. Hashem is my master, he's with me, and I have nothing to fear. There's a story told of a young boy that used to run to the top of a mountain near the seashore, and he would wave to the ships that were passing in the distance. When the older people in the village saw the boy's foolish behavior, they tried to convince him to come down. After all, the ships are so far away, they're not going to even notice you. But the boy insisted on continuing to wave, and in fact claimed that the captain of the ship is waving back to him. And the villagers laughed, and they mocked the boy for his far-fetched ideas. Suddenly, the ship's foghorn sounds, and its lights flash. The boy waves again, and the ship responds once more. The people are astounded. The boy explains, I knew the captain would reply, because the captain of the ship is my father. So we begin our day and recite Adon Olam, and we wave like little children to our father. And sure enough, he waves back to us too. So the beginning of Adon Olam is a little more Kabbalistic, and I'm going to stay away from that. But v'hukeli v'chai goali. So he, meaning this infinite, incomprehensible supreme being, something we can't wrap ourselves around, yet, v'hukeli, he's my God. He, as we said, we have that personal relationship with him. And we know that the word kel comes from the midah of rachamim. However, we don't always live life just in the midah of rachamim. When midah sadin strikes, then v'chai goali. And Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch explains, said the word goal is found in the Torah in connection with someone who's so deeply in debt that he was forced to sell his property. And the Torah tells us that the goel, his closest relative, comes to bail him out and redeem the property. So what we're saying is if I'm the recipient of rachamim in my life, then v'hukeli. He, Hashem, is that source, and he's close to me. But if his midas adin were to strike me, then I look at him and say, V'chai Goali, you're my closest living relative, you have to redeem me. However, if for whatever reason in his infinite wisdom he decides not to redeem me, and I don't get that experience of Rachamim, and I suffer Chas V'Shalom, Then we say, V'tzorchev li beis sara, that he gives me the strength to be able to bear and accept that suffering. So we're progressing in levels from the rachamim to the din, and then saying, you know what, if I have to go through this, you know, at least he gives me the strength to do it. We then continue, V'hu nisi umanosli, he's my banner and refuge. And we look at Hashem as our banner, as in a battle, whether it's a physical battle or a spiritual battle. And when we win, it's not because of us. Hashem's the cause of the victory. However, if we lose the battle, then Hashem becomes our refuge, our escape. We run back to Him. We do tshuva, and we get ready to face the next battle. Minas kosi v'yomekra, He's the portion in my cup on the day that I call. And Hashem apportions a destiny to each of us. And it's just like one holding a cup to be filled. Sometimes it's filled with something sweet. Sometimes it's filled with something bitter. Sometimes it's a mixture of both. Sometimes the cup overflows. Sometimes it barely receives anything. Some people receive a rough deal in life. They never make it, either in terms of health, finances, or any success in life. However, this phrase means that I know that when I call to Him and I hold out my cup to Him for His answer, He always responds. And I know Hashem is Shamea Tefila, and He always gives me an answer. Sometimes it's in a way I understand, which makes me very grateful, and we see what the answer is. And sometimes it's in a way I do not, because our minds are very limited. But yet, our personal relationship with Hashem gives me that right again to daven to Him, and then I have that amunah that He hears what I'm saying to Him. And the Chazon Ish explains the difference between amunah and betachon. He says amunah, faith, is the halacha that we're required to do, while betachon is trusting, is the action, is the ma'isa, the carrying out in practice of the amunah. Meaning, emunah means we're convinced Hashem has a personal relationship with each of us, and that when we daven to Him, He listens to us, and everything comes from Him, and He wants us in contact with Him. This is the halacha, that's meaning the way it should be. Betachon means that we entrust our existence to Him, as we say, B'yado afkid ruchi beis isham va'ira, that again, as we trust our neshama to Him when we fall asleep, and trust when we're awake, He's going to continue to take care of us. V'imruchi gviyasi Hashem li lo ira, and then we end and we say, with my spirit, my body, Hashem is with me, I shall not fear. And we're asking Hashem that our betachon in Him, our personal relationship with Him, be so secure that we'll have no fears. And that is the real proof of betachon. And after defining His role in our lives and our personal relationship with Him, and having then placed our complete trust in Him, we're asking Hashem to reach a level of that Hashem's with me, and I do not fear. So that's, you know, what we're doing in Adon Olam, what we're going through in building this relationship. The introduction to brachos, going into brachos. We start the bracha with the word baruch. The Nefesh HaChaim asks the obvious question, what does baruch mean? Obviously, it can't mean the typical translation, which every sitter brings so nicely, meaning blessing, that we're blessing Hashem. Because we cannot give a bracha to Hashem, since He's the source of all brachos. And therefore, what does this word mean? So the Derech HaChaim explains, simply, he says it just means that you are the source of all blessing. And so, therefore, when a person will say a bracha, he'll say Baruch Atah, saying you are that source, and then go into the bracha. Rav Shimon Schwab explains that the word Baruch comes from the word of Riboy, to increase something. And what we're saying is, it's our tefillah to you that you may be increasingly recognized in this world by our tefillah, by our emunah, and also by the world at large. And that more and more people will start to live their lives according to your will. So we're davening every time we start a bracha, every time we say a bracha, that us, together with growing members of people in this world, will abide by Hashem's will and increase the Kiddush Hashem in this world. Ata, meaning you, and we're speaking directly to Hashem. And through tefillah, we come as close to Him as possible. And Rav Shimon Schwab says, consequently, this word therefore should be uttered in a more quiet, reverential tone, because we're talking directly to Hashem. The Totzos Chaim explains that although Hashem is hidden from us, we should not make the mistake of thinking that He doesn't supervise the actions here in this lower world. And we address Hashem as you, because although Hashem is hidden from us, His influence on the day-to-day events makes His existence so clear to us that we actually can therefore see Him. Hashem. So Rav Shimon Schwab says one has to be careful, firstly, in the pronunciation of the Shem Adnos. He says, based on different minhagim, the Dalit can have an O, an I, or an O sound, depending on the background of where you come from. However, he says, it cannot be pronounced as Adinoi with an E sound. And therefore, because it sounds very much, if you break it down slowly, to I deny, as opposed to saying Hashem's name. And this name, again, as we said, is that he's the Adon Kol. He's the master of everything. And more specifically, as we mentioned from Adon Olam, that he's my personal master. And therefore, when we're saying Hashem, we have to remember, firstly, he's the master of everything, and specifically, he's my personal master. And some explain that this relationship goes so far that we call Hashem by his name to show how personal the relationship is. We're on a first-name basis with him. And therefore, we have to realize how close we really are. Elokeinu, so the Shulchan Aruch explains that we're supposed to be aware of the meaning and we're supposed to have in mind Takif Baal HaYecholes Baal HaKochos Kulam, that he is almighty with infinite ability and he's the sole master of all forces. But yet, even with that, we have to again realize the relationship we have with Hashem. As we heard when he came to us at Matan Torah, he revealed himself and said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And consequently, based on that, we therefore say Elokeinu, he's our God. He pays special attention to us, to Klal Yisrael. Melech HaOlam, the Arvei Nachal, explains that although we just finished going through how Hashem is personally our master, he's our God, we have to be careful and not limit his ability that he's just for us. But we have to remember, he's still Melech HaOlam. He rules just because he focuses on us and on each one of us specifically. He's still the Melech HaOlam. He's still the ruler, the king of the universe. They also bring that the word Olam has an underlying meaning of Nelam, of something that's hidden. And we don't always understand our world, not on a physical level or a metaphysical level. We don't see the spiritual world. We don't understand events that happen in our world. Many times it seems chaotic. Nature seems to be uncontrolled. But yet we're saying Hashem is the king of the universe, which is hidden from our understanding, but there is someone in charge, and it's not happening all by chance. Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu. So Chazal point out, we don't simply say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam shetzivanu. We add in, Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvosa. And we have to keep in mind when we say these three words, that as members of Klal Yisrael, our physical body has a Kedusha that came from Hashem also. And this Kedusha originates from when Avram Avinu entered into the Bris Milah. That was Mekadesh the Guf. And when each person in Klal Yisrael comes in, we go through the same process. And therefore, before we do a mitzvah that deals with our body, we recognize the Kedusha that the body has. And therefore we say, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvosav, meaning you sanctified our bodies through the mitzvos. And this is what we mean also in Shabbos Davening when we say Kadoshenu b'mitzvosecha, that you make us holy, meaning physically we become holy through doing the mitzvos. And therefore only mitzvos which require our body make this brach of Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvosav. And therefore, one who, let's say, would think in learning, or would think, or therefore on davening, which is primarily, even though we do verbalize it, but primarily it's a mental activity, even though with the speeds we go sometimes, there's not much mental activity that takes place, but officially it's a mental activity. Therefore, we don't make a bracha on those acts, even though there are mitzvahs there, because we're not involving the body. And that's why the body of a mace needs to be treated properly and buried as soon as possible. And it's also why a kohen can become tummy to a mace mitzvah, because the kedusha never leaves, even though the neshama has left. And therefore, when we say these words, we need to remember that we're different than the rest of the world. Because not only do we have a neshama, there's a spiritual aspect to us, but even the physical part of us is different, and it has a kedusha too. So we're going to close with a story and then a homework. And yes, the homeworks have gotten a little tougher as it takes a little more of a focus on doing it and a little more of a breaking of habits that we've had. So the past few weeks, Benny had been miserable. During recess, Ellie, one of the bigger boys in his school, would spend the entire recess making fun of Benny in one way or another. Benny refused to make an issue of it, decided not to tell his Rebbe his principal, and he made sure his parents didn't find out. He even went so far as to wait a moment before re-entering school or his house in order to wipe away his tears. But one day he was caught. It was a beautiful spring day, and Benny was eager to try out his new bike, an Afikoman present. He rode his bike to school. What a ride. 15 speeds. Sleek and sure on the pavement. Sure enough, though, as soon as Ellie saw the boy, he got off his own bike and followed Benny, trying to make him fall off his bike. It was just too much. Benny came home, ran past his mother, sat down on the couch, and just cried. His mother had heard him enter and noticed how upset he was. In fact, now that she thought about it, she realized that he'd been very anxious and edgy over the past few weeks, very unlike his usual demeanor. Not wanting to pry too much, she called to him from the next room, asking how his day had been. When there was no answer, she walked into the living room and saw an amazing sight. Benny was crying his heart out to an open volume of Tehillim. She assumed that one of his friends was ill. Such was his anguish. "Benny," she asked, "who's sick?" Benny replied, "No one's sick." But the look of pain on his face told her that it was time for her to find out what was going on, no matter what. He didn't look away. He collapsed onto the couch and looked at the floor. "Benny, please tell me, what is it?" Benny's eyes were red and swollen. He had held in the pain for a long time, and now finally he was letting it all out. "Mommy, I'm not davening because someone is sick. I'm davening because there's a bully who keeps picking on me in school. So I'm asking Hashem if he could be my bodyguard." The words just hung there in the air. His mother was at a loss for words. She felt terrible that she had not known about the bully who was ruining her son's school year. But she was even more amazed at her 10-year-old's emunah pshuta. He had a problem, and he was turning to Hashem to be his bodyguard. It was really quite amazing. She hugged Benny and told him that everything was going to be all right. And then as soon as she left the room, her son went back to his davening. So she picked up the phone and called her next-door neighbor, Chaya. Chaya was a trusted friend who viewed her friend's family as her own. She had not been zocher to have children of her own. And because of that, she took special joy in her friend Simchos. In just a few moments, Chaya arrived at her friend's apartment. She walked up the stairs quietly and watched from the doorway as the adorable 10-year-old poured out his heart and davened that Hashem should protect him. Then Chaya stepped into the room and asked Benny if she could speak to him for a minute. Benny stopped what he was doing and looked at the woman who was like his second mother. She told him that she had heard about the bully in school and felt terrible that he was in so much pain. But she just wanted a small favor. Could he have her in mind as well? She'd been married for 17 years and had never been blessed with a child. Could you ask Hashem to be my bodyguard as well? Benny wiped away his tears and smiled. Within a few days, Ellie stopped bothering Benny. Amazingly, within 1 year's time, Chaya became a mother. There was no doubt in her mind whom she had to thank, Benny and his bodyguard. And again, I mean, it's a child, but if we realize what tefillah is, and we realize the relationship, he's my bodyguard, he's my personal protector, what our tefillahs can really accomplish. So building on last week's homework, which was difficult enough, where we were again pausing at the door before entering the shul and thinking about what we're about to do, who we are, and whether we deserve to be there, and only, as we said, Vanibra of Chastacha, it's only with Hashem's Chesed we could approach. We're going to build on that, and we're going to take one bracha and focus on this first part of the bracha of the Baruch through Melech Olam, or if you take Alon Tielsi Daim, for example, through Asher Kedushon B'Mitzvos of Itzivanu, and just try to have a kavana for one bracha each davening to do it with the proper way, because otherwise, as I'm finding, you will not have enough time to daven with the minyan.